The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, December 4th, 2016, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ, on this Sunday morning, the second Sunday in Advent. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we truly be glad. May our hearts be glad. May we truly know that indeed today is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for a faith community, friends and family, brothers and sisters. We thank you for a time to come, to pray together, to sing together, to hear the word, to share the liturgies, to gather around the table, to receive of your grace and your mercy, not just in what we do, but in the time we share together, we call worship. May we truly worship you now in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is a time of year when patience yields to frustration, fulfillment turns to greed, and enough simply becomes not enough. In these days of excess, we wonder how we can ever change our understanding of God's provision for us, our families, friends, and strangers alike. Where is the justice in it all? It is in this season of want we encounter a reading from the book of Isaiah on his second Sunday of Advent. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide the equality, the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall not eat, and shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
Thanks be to God.
Because our God is a God of justice, we too are a people of justice and equality, not rule our land. The poor will live with the rich. The adult will learn from the child, and God's provision will be enough. We light this candle today to provide a reminder that even small flame is enough to cast light all around it. Assurance that our work for justice can speak with the voice of God. Lord Jesus, come quickly.
This morning's reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Every time I hear and read this text, I'm reminded of a story. It has to do with the passage here, "Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees." This pastor had went to a new church, and for the first 4 months, all he had done is preach about baptism. Every sermon was about baptism. The deacons couldn't take it anymore. They called him aside and said, "Pastor, you got to get off this baptism thing. Every sermon is about baptism." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you pick the text and I'll preach on it." So they picked this very text. And now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. And he got up and he read that. And he said, I can't think but one reason why you would lay the axe to the root of the tree. And that'd be to cut it down, to dam up the creek, to have a baptizing. Just the way it goes. Have you ever noticed that some people you can't tell anything? Have you ever noticed that? It's like it don't sink in. It just, how many of you, and we'll call you got to have to go back a little bit, 1969, Chrysler Corporation was building cars. I had a 69 GTX 440 four-speed car. I had traded a 65 Chevrolet Supersport 327 because I wanted that big motor. Anybody remember the police cars back in the day? I mean, they were as long as a bad dream. It took 5 minutes to look over the hood. They had to have monster motors. And you could hear them coming for miles. Whoop, whoop. Anybody drive one of those? Nobody. They didn't have those things out here. Those were cheap Plymouths, you know, Dodges and stuff. Back when I bought me one. I was 14. My neck is red. Really red. The motor had to come out. 30 overs. 10.5 to 1s. Roller cam. Fly cut the block. Needle bearing, roller bearing guides for the cams. Crossboard the block. 4 bolt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ported and polished the heads. Elder brought mini rise, and I put 3 deuces on it. Oh, it was sweet. I had a picture. I don't know where it went. It got gone while I was in the Marine Corps. I was at the City Drive in Mickey Thompson 24-inch wrinkle walls. It's Saturday night. 2 Pabst Blue Ribbon beers are stood up. They wasn't mine. I had a picture of that car pulling the front wheels up high enough so you could see them 2 beer cans in the parking lot of the City Drive-In. It was so loud I could kick it out of gear going through town and rev it up and set off the burglar alarms in the stores. I liked it. My daddy didn't think too much of it. He said, son, you keep driving them hot rod cars, you're going to go to jail. I said, they got to catch me first. I got pulled over by the police on Lower Street in Spruce Pine. And he looked at my car. I turned it off real quick. And I was thinking, maybe it'll start. You know, them old high compression motors, they ain't so easy to get running. And he walked around that car. Now, it wasn't pretty. I had painted it with flat black spray cans. That's all I could afford. I put everything under the hood. Now, when you open the hood, it was a different story. He said, boy, come up here. Took me up to his car. And he got out. Have you seen those kitchen matches? Those big boxes with the kitchen matches. He said, this is what we'll put you in. That's somebody else, right? Here's your ticket for slick tires. And I know them racing slicks on the back of that car. He didn't know there's 4 gallons of Clorox in the back, too. Along with 6 inches of concrete poured in the trunk pan. You don't know about this, do you? You got to give it something back there to hold on to, traction bars. We went out to Flat Creek, about 20 of us. And we lined them up. Man, we were rednecked out. You wouldn't believe it. We had us a Christmas tree. We'd set a battery down in the middle of the road, and we had switches you could turn on the lights. It was just like a regular drag strip. We lined them up. I took 3 car titles that night. You raced for titles. You didn't race for fun. Took 3 titles that night. 4th race, lined up. Nailed that mama. Boy, it was coming out of the hole. It was doing really good. Probably run 120 and a quarter. Folks, that's fast for a boat that size. And if you ain't been in a boat that size of 120, you've missed a ride. There's a lot going on, isn't there? You're just kind of holding. Hey, right, Morgan? You're just kind of holding on, hoping something don't fall off. Guess what? Something fell off. It was the tie rod end on the right front wheel. We went for a Mountain Dew ride. You know what that is? Ah-hoo! As you go off over into the cornfield. Daddy was right. I didn't think that thing would ever quit wrecking. I didn't have on no seatbelt. There was handprints in the steering wheel, though, because I was holding on. I don't know how I got out of that one either. God's grace. Everybody had told me, but I hadn't heard a word they said. Common sense told me, but I didn't listen. I bet you've told people things that really they should have heard, haven't you? But they didn't hear a word you said. John comes preaching in a camel hair coat, eating honey and locusts, and he looks a mess, folks. And people are coming, and they're coming to John, and John's message has 3 points, and you need to write these down because they're your message too. The first message John says is repent because the kingdom of God is coming near. Repent, the kingdom of God. It begins in that of repentance. In this time of Advent, we begin there in the spirit of repentance. And John was preaching it. They were coming. They were being baptized. Man, they were listening to John's message. Can you imagine? They were hearing John. But who was hearing John? The poor, the outcast, the oppressed, the ones who had no hope.
But those religious leaders, they were not listening to John's message, were they? They said, this can't be. And they show up the scribes and the Pharisees. And you need to understand, the scribes and the Pharisees were not on the same team. They were just part of the stuff. They hated each other. And there's another group called the Essenes. And that's where we get the Qumran scrolls and the Dead Sea Scrolls from Qumran. They all were divided up. They couldn't even get along with each other. And John says to them, who told you brood of vipers to flee from the wrath of God that's coming? They wasn't listening, was they? But John said, repent. For the kingdom, that's why to repent. And then his message was, make the path for Christ straight. Make the path of Christ straight. So look at what John's message really was about. I want you to kind of get this. Number one is in verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of God is come near. And then in verse 3.5 maybe. Prepare the way of the Lord. Part 2. Make his paths straight. Part 3. John's message was good news, wasn't it? John's message was repent, for Christ is coming near. But I've noticed something today, that when we tell somebody something out of love and grace and mercy, that should be something that they hear as that. How many of you have had them get mad at you? Just snub you. I mean, and give you funny sign language. You know? And not speak to you. Just get, how come when somebody tells us something we don't like, our first reaction is to rebel against it? I mean, we cut our own nose off to spite our face and prove them wrong. How many of us have a little trouble asking for help along the way? Huh? It's okay. You're in church. It's okay. You're supposed to confess your sins. Jesus said if we need to confess our sins one to another. Last apostle says that. So now, it amazes me. How many of you have told somebody something that was to help them, and all of a sudden, you were told you were judging them? How does that work? John's giving them the good news, but they're not hearing good news. Some of them are. Some of them aren't. And it's noticeable here that those who aren't are the elitists, the richies, the got-its together, the ones that think that they've got it just where they want it. But it's those other people. Did you know in Christianity today around the world, the people who are converting and hearing the gospel message are those that are oppressed and poor, and the rich and affluent societies in America and around the world are rejecting Jesus? Have you noticed that? We don't need him. I got all I need. Why do I need a Jesus? That religious stuff is for the weak. I read Mark's book. It's the opium of the masses. I'm not going to fall for that disguise. I'm not going to be so weak-minded I need a Jesus. Then Jesus says, go to us Christians and tell them about it. And I'm reminded of Isaiah 6. And Isaiah says, Lord, here am I, send me. And he says, okay, you go, but they're not going to hear you. They're not going to see it. They're not going to get it, and I'm going to lay waste to the whole place. And if I was Isaiah, I said, why am I going? I mean, think about it. You get a call to go out into the mission field, and ain't nobody going to get saved. And all you're going to do is preach to dead wood and watch it burn down. It is good news. The kingdom of God has come near. Christ with us. Advent is good news. Advent is good news. Christ has come. Christ is near. It isn't just a future thing, folks. Get some of that Shekinah glory. Get it here now. Christ is present. He is with you. Read the end of Matthew. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It isn't that he's coming. He is here. But he's coming back. And our job is part 2 and 3 of John's message. Our job is to prepare the way, to open hearts, to share grace, to share mercy. If they don't listen, that's their problem. We're to sow seeds. We're to make it available. You won't save them all, but we should save some. The church has lost its evangelistic teeth. We want to swap church members. You know, I like to swap and trade. Does anybody else? But I always like to get boot. Do you know what that is? Oh, my goodness. They don't know what boot is. That's when you're asking in a trade. Greg's got a nice Mustang. He won't let me drive it. Now, since I told this story, I'll probably never get a chance to drive it. Remember, it's the tie rod end that caused the whole problem. It wasn't me. I'll trade Greg my 2003 Super Duty, lightly used, few hundred thousand miles on it. But he's going to have to give me some boot. It ain't going to be an even swap. He's laughing at that. Greg, I'll swap with you, but you got to give me a Jeep to boot. I'll swap church members, but I got to get some boot. Because, you know, I might get a bad one in the mix. That's just the way it is. And you know what? I might trade some of you. Never mind. If I can get boot, of course. You know, it's kind of like a sports team, isn't it? You know, you can't swap with so many A players. You got to take a chance on a third-row draft. And I got news for you. God can take a third-row draft and make a superstar out of it. How about them apples? Preach it. Teach it. And live it. The kingdom of God is near. Jesus is near. That means reach out and take him in. Reach out. He knocks. He doesn't knock the door down. We have to bring him in to our hearts, into our lives, and into our families. Well, Pastor, I don't know who to witness to. When you sit down at the holiday table, look around. Your mission field might be right around your own living room floor. Do they know Jesus? Give them the choice. Don't beat them in the head with him. You know, don't go ahead and say, you get Jesus or die and go to hell. While that's true, that's not probably the best way to approach it. I'm learning couth. I am. I'm down to the couth of a hydrogen bomb now. I'm getting there. You know, I'm working on sensitivity and everything. Aren't I, honey? About to get in the floor over here. She did give me a thumbs up, but I'm working on it. It's funny, the kids come in and say, Papa or Daddy, I got hurt. And they've got a 30-second rule. If I don't see a puddle in the floor in 30 seconds, go play. If there's a puddle, we get the glue and Band-Aids. That's the rule. It's the 30-second rule, right, Nick? We had glue and Band-Aids. He got his face cut with a hockey stick. I said, come here, wipe that off, super glue it, and I go play. But it hurts. I said, well, it's going to hurt out there playing. You know, go on. You know, isn't Jesus wonderful? Advent. The message of John was good news. And folks, it is still good news. Repent requires us to be humble. And that rebellious spirit, it comes straight out of pride. That rebellion to the good news and that rebellion to the good advice comes straight out of pride. And pride keeps you from being humble. And if you're humble, you can't learn. If you're not humble, you can't repent. If you're not humble, you can't receive Christ's message because it requires humility and an absence of pride to hear the things that'll change your life. But hold on to pride and hold on to pain. They go hand in hand. Walk in pride and rebellion. And you'll hear Jesus say what God said to the nation of Israel. You're a stiff-necked people. Share love, share grace, share Christ. John's message is our message. It isn't about me. It's about him. I need to point them to Jesus. Pastor, I try. Then that's what you should do. Do you know that if you can help one person accept Christ, all of heaven will rejoice? Every pain, every sorrow, and every struggle, every prayer and every witness, every trying moment and every failed attempt is worth that one soul that'll inherit the kingdom of God. That one person who will fall on a bended knee and accept our Savior. They'll know that the kingdom of God has come near and that God is with them. That's Advent. Prepare the way he's coming again. But he's here now. Our call is to help prepare the way. That means to prepare hearts to receive him and to share the good news, which is Christ Jesus. John's message is our message, our call to share the good news. May we share the good news of Christ. Even if they don't listen, share. share it anyway. With love and grace. Amen. Children.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. He sung the earth goodwill to men from heaven, the gracious King. The
truly may we go in peace, grace and mercy with us, knowing the kingdom of God is near. May we go, and remember there's food back here. May God bless it as we're strengthened in the receiving of it. Prayer's been said. Go and share and break bread together. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.